Hello and welcome to the WTM Insights podcast with me, your host, Lisa Francesca Nand. Branded content in the travel sector means telling beautiful stories. We all know that by now. But how can you be sure you're delivering your brand story with impact and efficiency? In this fascinating session with the BBC at WTM London, we hear from Dr. Hamish McFarlane, who's head of insight at BBC Global News, about their latest research into the science of memory, including what creates strength, what creates emotion in memory, and how we can harness this to create powerful, memorable, branded content.
The BBC has got a huge history and heritage of storytelling. We've been doing it for 100 years, since 1922 when we were formed, so nearly 100 years. And we've been taking that experience, that knowledge, that expertise of telling great stories, whether it's across news, whether it's across drama, entertainment, or indeed across our natural history content, some of the most amazing, unique premium content around the world. And we have now started applying that into how we tell brand stories and how we work with different brand partners around the world to really connect and tell their stories. And with great storytelling, there is an art to that storytelling. And we've taken all of that art and craft, and we've created our brand new studio called BBC Storyworks, which is now works all over the world in many different locations, working with tourism organizations, private sector clients all around the world to be able to take that editorial insight, that knowledge, that know-how, that craft, and mold that into how we deliver great branded content stories. But there is also a science to great storytelling. And we like to think at the BBC, we are leading out in the international media market in terms of how we understand the science of great storytelling. And today we're going to hear a lot about that from a number of people, and we're going to be able to tell some great insights about what memory, how important memory is to brilliant storytelling. Now, I'm a Brit living in Australia, and very soon you're going to be hearing from an Australian who lives in Britain. That is our own head of insights, Dr. Hamish McFarlane. He's going to lead you through a groundbreaking new piece of research, which is called The Science of Memory, which is really all about how long-term memory is encoded and the impact that that can then lead for brands as well.
Lovely to see you all today. Thank you for coming along. My name is Hamish McFarlane. I'm the head of insight for BBC Global News. And as my dear colleague Alastair talked about very eloquently, the BBC is really engaged in bringing to life beautiful destinations around the world with their branded content. And we have a branded content division called BBC Storyworks. And I've become very involved in helping them understand the science behind the art. And it's something we do for many different sectors. We do it for luxury brands, we do it for foreign direct investment, we do it for automobiles. But tourism and tourist destinations and leisure travel are something particularly dear to my heart. And I think that running this study was something that was perfect for travel destinations, because what better way to convince people that they should come here or here or here than to bring it to life? I think that it's perfectly poised to be something really great for the tourism sector. Now, the Science of Memory is a study we have just finished, and it's a great pleasure to talk to you about it today. And we use quite a number of tourism brands and tourism content in this study. So it's something that we really wanted to bring to you today to talk about at WTM. I'm going to go get my clicker now. Let's make sure it works. We at the BBC really understand and appreciate that the key to branded content is stirring people's emotions. And what we wanted to do in 2018 is to understand the relationship between emotion and memory. We started this journey back in 2016 with a study called The Science of Engagement. We started doing second-by-second analysis of the emotional impact of branded content. And we turned it into a tool called the SOE Toolkit. That we use all the time now. We've used it for many branded content campaigns around the world to really understand beyond the numbers what was going on in people's minds and people's hearts when they consume that content, how we're changing people's perceptions through the use of great storytelling and stimulating emotion with people. So that was something we wanted to take to the next level in 2018 in the science of memory. We wanted to understand now the relationship between emotion and memory and how they work together. Is there a relationship, and what are the rules of stimulating emotion, how you do it to deliver great memory? Now, I think it's something particularly useful for tourism, because when you come across branded content about coming to the Seychelles or coming to Dubai or wherever you happen to be going, you may not be ready to book your trip right there and then. It may be some time before you're ready to sit down and prepare your trip. So we need to make sure that the content we are creating is going into your memory, and it's going in such a way that when you are ready to book that leisure trip, this is the brand that comes to mind. And we need to know not just that it comes to mind, but it comes to mind in a way that is favorable against the other destinations that you may have seen, and that it stimulates the particular thoughts and aspirations you have for your trip as well. So we dived into the amazing world of trying to understand memory. And we talked to many scientists about how memory works. I'm not going to pretend I'm a scientist who understands how memory works. I've had some fascinating discussions with them this year as we put this study together. But one thing that we really appreciated from this was how fascinating the brain is in how it chooses what to remember and what not to remember. The brain is an incredibly efficient and marvelous device that we carry around with us. We are bombarded with information and messages and signals all day, and we develop these little rules that decide what we're going to notice, what we're going to remember, and what we're going to store away in our long-term memory to be remembered later. Has anyone, hands up actually, if you've ever walked into a room and then forgotten what you came to do in that room? Anyone? It's a daily, wow, everyone, right? It is a daily ordeal for me, I must say. We can somehow forget something that we were thinking just seconds ago. And yet, hands up who can remember vividly something from their childhood. It's incredible. How is it that your brain has decided very efficiently to forget this thing and to put this thing away for decades? It's incredible how the brain does this. And tapping into the secret of putting things into your long-term memory obviously has great opportunities for telling brand stories. If we can create brand stories that will be encoded into a consumer's long-term memory, there's a higher likelihood they're going to recall that brand in the moment when they're ready to make that decision. And we, of course, at the BBC know that the secret to great storytelling is stimulating emotion. There's something really potent about that when it comes to getting it into memory. Why is it that memory is so important for branded content? To me, there's two things. First of all, there is this one we've just talked about, retrieving it at the point of the decision. Because a lot of the testing that we do, that researchers do in media, is all about point of exposure. What is the impact when they see the ad or when they see the piece of branded content? Very few studies actually look at what we call the decay effect, how that works over time. And it used to be quite a ham-fisted way that we would do that. You used to call people in the testing. You call them a month later. Do you remember what it was that you saw a month ago? Much different now. I'm going to show you some pictures of what we got up to when we were doing this test. There is now ways that we can test second by second whether something is actually being encoded into people's long-term memory without having to ask them at all. And there's a few reasons why I think that this is particularly potent for tourism. And here they are. Very quick findings from some of our studies that we've been doing into the tourism sector. But also some of these are quite well known from other studies as well. I think that we are moving towards a really interesting time where there is a real movement towards self-enrichment. Now, when I say enrichment, I don't mean lots of money. I mean enriching your mind, enriching your soul. Who takes yoga here? Yeah, I think there's a lot more hands that would go up now than if I'd asked that question 10 years ago. Anyone who's into yoga will appreciate that it's not just about flexibility. It's about the mind and the body and the spirit. There's a whole philosophy behind it. And I think that is prevalent in many things that we do these days. We're all about enriching ourselves and enriching our minds. It's not just about what we have now. It's about where we've been, the experiences we've had, and what that has turned us into as a person. Self-enrichment. This is something that obviously has big connotations for travel. Travel now is less about, we can see it very clearly in our data, going somewhere to relax. It's not about that anymore. People put work into their trips now. Now it is about enriching yourself. It is about experiencing cultures food, arts, music, and taking those things back. And we can see very clearly in our studies when we do tourism campaigns and travel campaigns that there's a real desire to go out there and have a unique experience, something that not everyone has had. Go and do something off the beaten track, something local, live like a local, meet them, experience those things. There's huge, obviously, connotations for how you would market your destination, and there's big connotations for how we would advertise that and how we would put our branded content together. Bringing those destinations to life, showing the hidden side of that destination, really important, something that we focus on in our branded content. So to do this and to understand how the content that we tested that was bringing these destinations to life was working, we combined these two studies, these two award-winning studies. The one on the left here is our one, our science of engagement. This was our second-by-second analysis of the emotional impact of branded content. And we combined that with a proprietary neuroscience technique using steady-state topography developed by a company called NeuroInsight, who are based here in London, but we conducted this study globally. Here's a couple of pictures from our lab. We're putting on these special headsets that they have developed that will do second-by-second encoding of the electromagnetic activity that's picked up from your frontal lobe. That's about as much as I understand how it works. Don't ask me any further than that. These guys are really amazing and were able to give us incredible data. So we ran our tests of facial coding, of memory encoding in these four cities around the world with 2,179 respondents. On the emotion side, we used a facial coding technology that we can roll out globally from a emotion specialist called Crowd Emotion, who also have a base here in London. And we use them, and we're using for a number of years to do second-by-second analysis of our emotion tracking for our campaigns. Here's a few. This is from a Chinese tech brand called Huawei. This was some wonderful films that were made by Storyworks for them not too long ago. And on the memory side, this is the pyramid of outcome measures that NeuroInsight brought to the table that we were able to bring to bear on this study. The most important one, of course, is our long-term memory encoding measure. And this, as you can see, four others as well. They can actually pinpoint through their the little caps that they put on people's heads whether you're paying attention. They can tell from the metrics that they are that they are picking up from your brain signals whether you're paying attention or not without even looking at your eyes. Here are the six brand films that we tested, and four of them are from the travel sector. They're the ones that I've outlined in yellow there. And I'm going to go into a bit of detail. We're going to show a few pieces of content to bring some of this to life as well for you. A couple that I'm going to show. One is this one here. This is one we did for the Seychelles Tourism Board, Secret of the Seychelles. And the other one I'm going to show you is this one up here called Wolfie, which we did for Dubai Tourism, talking about the healthy environment for entrepreneurs to come to Dubai. So I'm going to show you some clips from both of those, and we'll go deep on those. And as we talk about it, I want you to get used to stuff like this, squiggly charts. We're going to look at memory encoding second by second, as well as emotional intensity, and we're going to talk about the different natures of emotions. Happy emotions, sad, curious, fear, empathy, things like that. We're going to talk about those. One bit that we're going to talk about a little bit is getting above the 0.7 line. This is a baseline that was developed by NeuroInsight using their own scale. They have, through benchmarking hundreds of campaigns over many years, they are able to determine that if we can get it above their 0.7 mark, it is a what we would call a significant memory event, that is something is significantly being put into memory. Why is this important? Because there's no such thing as memory not happening. There's no such thing as there was no memory here and then there was memory here. Everything is relative. There is low memory encoding, there is high memory encoding. So we need to know what is our threshold. So keep an eye out for that. Okay, today I'd like to share with you just three findings from our study. And if you would like to know more, you're welcome to go to bbc.com/science of memory, and there's more information for you there. And if you would like to work with the BBC on branded content, using these tools to understand how our campaigns can work for you, you can go to that website as well, and there is information for you. bbc.com/science of memory. Okay, number one, we discovered that emotion is a key driver of memory. It is not the only driver of memory, but it has a fundamental, crucial role to play. And if you're watching a brand film, we discovered emotional spikes were what we're looking for that would deliver a great memory event. It's not actually the emotion itself, it's the degree of intensity that determined whether memory encoding would become significant. So let's break that down a little bit. First of all, we found that 70% of the memory events were related to emotion around a narrative event. So building great narratives, the art of great storytelling, narratives that could progress and move you were the key to creating memory. The brain is trained to spot narrative development and try and remember it. And if you have a sense of emotional intensity in there, you will heighten that impact. And what we discovered was that it didn't actually matter what emotion was the one that was doing the that was intense. Over here, we've got one brand film that was exhibiting a degree of happiness. And as you can see, memory clicked. Over here, we had sadness and empathy around the story of this character who came out to Dubai and was trying to make a go of it. Obviously, that turned to happiness as he became successful. But what we're learning here is there is no such thing as a bad emotion when it comes to memory. Happiness, sadness, curiosity, surprise, fear, all of these emotions positively work towards creating memory events. The key, of course, for us is how we can use these learnings to maximize the impact of the brand. But what we're learning here is about intensity of emotion. The other thing we discovered all the way through our metrics was this. A key moment of emotional intensity often will cause a rise in memory encoding just afterwards. So the emotional intensity was followed by a window of opportunity for getting something into memory. And the timing and positioning of getting that right, of course, has tremendous implications for branding. We're going to break that down in a little while and take a look. The other thing that we were really interested in was cultural effect. We're working with people from different cultures around the world. We're showing them the same piece of content. And what we were finding was that they were reacting differently to it. So this is just one example of many. This was the predominant emotional spikes being experienced by different people in different cities watching exactly the same 15 or 20 seconds of content. We've got sadness and empathy being shown by those in the US. At the same time, we've got happiness by those in Europe, and we have surprise by those in the Asia Pacific. So culturally, they were encoding, reading, experiencing different emotions, reacting differently. There are reasons why that was happening. We won't go into it today with the time that we have. What was interesting that I'd love to share with you today is that their memory effect was the same. So even though these different cultures were experiencing different emotions, because we had that degree of emotional intensity, we had unlocked memory and had a successful outcome. Okay, number two. We've learned a few little pointers about how memory and emotion work together. How can we fine-tune them to optimize and to color memory? Now, coloring memory is a really interesting idea. This idea that emotions color memory. They don't just serve as a stimulator for memory encoding. They also affect the way that that memory is encoded. So I'm going to show you one from The Secret of the Seychelles. This is a really interesting little moment in the piece, and you're going to see it actually. I'm going to show you the piece a little later on. We had this beautiful moment where the piece talked about the magnetic personalities of the locals in the Seychelles and how wonderful it is to come and meet the locals and experience them and experience the Seychellian way of life. Am I allowed to say that? Is that the way they say that? Now, of course, this already sounds just right for what we've already learnt about how personal narratives and personal intimate stories really affect people and drive emotion. And as you can see, we had a peak of emotional intensity at this point of curiosity. Curious about these characters, all these different figures, and you're going to see them in a moment. What you're also going to see is straight after that, we cut to this beautiful vista here, and the narrator says, "The Seychelles is still one of the planet's very last sanctuaries." And we have that happening right at the height of that memory encoding event. So we've learned here that emotion precedes memory. That emotional intensity of learning about these magnetic personalities and having that emotional connection has stimulated a jump in memory encoding. And we have this statement. Now, why is that statement important? A couple of reasons. First of all, it's mentioning the brand, the Seychelles. That is riding the wave of emotion into memory. Secondly, it's presenting it in a way that is perfectly matching with the emotion that is being experienced, curiosity. curious. The Seychelles is one of the planet's last remaining sanctuaries. It's undiscovered. It invites you to come and discover it. Curiosity works perfectly. What we're learning here is how emotion is coloring memory of the brand. When that purchase decision comes at a later date, the color of that emotion will be experienced too. The color of curiosity, perfectly pitched for the secrets of the Seychelles. Another little learning was this one. You may wonder how many emotional peaks is right for producing memory. This is a fascinating piece that I'm going to show you. These are two tourism brands, actually, that I'm showing you. The first one here, and we're looking once again about getting our peaks above the benchmark. You can see that one at the top produced five peaks of emotion above the benchmark, and that was above our performance threshold. And we benchmark that against 400 campaigns around the globe to understand where it sits in terms of its memory performance. So those five peaks gave us a memory score that put us in the top 46% for memorability. Okay, pretty good. Top 40, we're above average, top 46%. However, the bottom one had 12 emotional peaks, 12 times that emotional intensity was driven into our significant zone. And this one benchmarked in the top 18%. More emotional peaks, more memorability. And in fact, we need to also ask ourselves pacing. I think when we set out to do this study, I wondered if we need, when we're creating our branded content, we need to start slow and we build and build and build and build and we finish on a really big note, this big emotional, splendid, majestic ending. And what actually I found is that I was wrong. And in fact, I'm frequently wrong, which is one of the fun about doing the kind of role that I'm in. I get to correct myself all the time. We found, actually, that those that set the emotional stakes early and delivered their emotional intensity in the first third of their duration were the ones that delivered much higher memorability overall. Rev the emotional engine early. Keep it up and punch it all the way through. Never stop. That was the way, and we saw that in the previous slide as well. 12 emotional peaks, they kept delivering. Don't save it to the end. Okay, last finding. Let's learn about how brands can ride memory moments. This is an interesting one. We've obviously looked at this art of getting emotional intensity up and how that relates to memory. So what is this going to do for the brand? How does the brand capitalize on this? How can the brand find its way through into memory with everything else? The first thing I'd like to show you is just a bit of custom analysis I've just done for today. We were able to test consideration of the destination amongst the exposed group and a control group. Across those four tourism pieces of branded content that we delivered, we were able to measure a 78% uplift in consideration of the destination. So really good numbers, significant numbers as well. We also tested the destinations in ranking of competitors. And there was a +5 change in ranking position. So basically, whatever your position was, if you were the Seychelles, if you were Dubai and so forth, or Korean Air was another one, wherever you were in the control group, in ranking to your competitors, you jumped on average 5 ranking points as a result of being exposed to this content. We also found that there was an uplift in memory encoding, strength of it. Those that went, think about this, those that went on to consider the brand had a 15% higher memory encoding score. So there's a relationship between your consideration of the brand and the literal metrics that we're using to measure how much you're remembering the content that you're experiencing. So let's break this down a little bit. I'm going to show you, because we are the BBC, we produce beautiful content. I want to show you some of that content now, if we could. I think I've got a video that we can put up. This will be the slide 12 video. So these are just 20 seconds each of the Seychelles. We're going to look at the Dubai piece, and then we'll look at the Seychelles piece, just so you can see what we were testing.
We are here 15 years in Dubai. We came here to start a bicycle business, and it has been quite a successful story. My name is Wolfgang Hohmann, but most people know me as Wolfie. We came with one mechanic. Now we're over 30 after 15 years. There were times where we're thinking to go back to Germany, but for me, same like on a bicycle ride. Yeah, you have challenging times. You grow with your challenges. We built this together with our friends and with our staff. We put everything we had into this business. I would not have moved to Dubai if it wasn't an opportunity to grow cycling here. Luckily, cycling has become a real major sport here in Dubai.
Kicking back here and being part of an authentic island lifestyle, which is so far removed from the madding crowd.
Magnetic place to be. It's as though you've got metal in your shoes. Your shadows are a different color from anywhere else in the world.
Seychelles is still one of the planet's very last sanctuaries. There can't be many places on the world that replicate that kind of experience.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So there we go. Hopefully you would have recognized that last bit there. These were those intimate personal pen portraits of the characters, followed by the curiosity of Seychelles being one of the last remaining sanctuaries. So let's now break down how brands can ride those memory moments, just as we saw in the Seychelles piece. I'm going to show you one that we did for Mini, a car manufacturer. So we had a particular sequence that I'm going to show you a segment of now, and we'll finish with this. This particular sequence led to a jump in surprise. So there's a big surprise moment here. And it was around... There it is. And it's around this lady. This lady is Jacinta Leong. She's an art director who did the art direction for Mad Max Fury Road. And this piece was called Roads because it was all about that incredible set piece that she put together, the race through the desert. And in this, she talks about her architecture degree. And she says that one of the first things she learned was that design is a journey, not a destination. So let's take a look at that. This will be the slide 25 piece.
When I was in architecture school, one of the things the lecturer told me, which has stuck with me ever since, was that design is a journey, not a destination. When you're on the road of designing, becoming lost is not a bad thing. I prefer to say it's a detour, but you have to explore all these possibilities.
Okay, so we saw there was a lot going on there. It might not seem obvious, but there was a lot going on there in terms of emotion and memory. So we saw this surprise spike. And what we did in our analysis is we asked ourselves the question of, was there a difference in emotional impact amongst those that went on to become considerers of Mini for their next car purchase and those who did not? And we separated their emotional journey. Let's take a look. Surprise amongst brand considerers and those who did not go on to become considerers of the brand. Look at the stark, significant difference here in the emotion. The emotion is being felt by a particular group, and that group is going on to become considerers of the brand for the next purchase. Now, for those considerers, what does the memory curve look like? It looked like this. So for those brand considerers, we once again have this emotion preceding memory event. The emotion felt around her statement and that philosophy around design being a journey, not a destination, which caused a surprise spike in emotion for those that went on to become brand considerers, unlocked a memory event. And we asked ourselves, what was going on at that point, that peak where the memory encoding was at its highest? It was this. So this is our one of the screenshots for the video capture we did that showed eye tracking. So we've got heat maps showing us where people are looking. And people oriented their way down towards this, the elegant integration of the Mini brand, the Mini logo sitting on the car steering wheel as she drove around, because it turned out that she was using her Mini to scout locations. Okay, so there was this elegant integration of the brand that was able to ride the wave by being there at the exact time of that memory event. So brands can ride the wave of memory moments. And these are just a few of the things that we learned through our Science of Memory study. Obviously, we think these have got great implications for storytelling in general and for tourism and travel in particular, because I think that tourism and travel are one of the premier sectors for bringing things to life through great storytelling. And we obviously are anxiously engaged with being part of that, being part of bringing science, but also the art. And I don't want you to come away thinking that there is only a recipe to this. I have to acknowledge the hard work done by BBC Storyworks and storytellers who bring these things to life, who create these beautiful, wonderful stories. Science is a way for us to look at it, understand it, but we'll always need the art, absolutely. I hope you've enjoyed today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hamish. That was brilliant. That absolutely fascinating insights there. I know that Hamish has kindly agreed to take a few questions as well. So if we've got a few microphones around the room, and if anyone has got any questions, just while we ask for those questions, can we see anybody down there who has got a question for Hamish on anything that we've seen today? On the third row, have we got a microphone that we can get just down here?
Hello.
On the clip that you showed with the mini,
yeah,
you showed us obviously where they peaked emotion and then when the memory is encoded, but there was a peak for memory just before. What occurred at that time that you had that peak?
Gosh, I haven't got that in my dear memory, I'm afraid. I can't remember exactly what's going on there. This is not to say, I don't want you to give the impression there is only ever one peak. There's only ever one emotional peak and one memory peak. This was just one segment of so many. We got so many that we were able to pull from each of the pieces to show when things came together. What was going on that was interesting for us there was the brand was there in that moment to be captured. There are memory peaks and emotional peaks that will occur around times where the brand was not evident. So we were finding that there is, for instance, a big response towards personal stories. If there is a personal story and that personal story has the backdrop around it of a big narrative that is proceeding, there can be a memory effect, there can be an emotional effect, but it may not have a brand involved. There's another story behind that, which actually the brand can still become the beneficiary. But the one I wanted to show you was the one that was occurring when the brand was there to have a very distinct benefit.
Yeah. Great question. Lovely question. Just before we break for lunch, have we got one more question just down here?
Hi.
Hey.
Is there somewhere where we can get the full sort of results from your study? Is that on the website that you...
Yeah, so if you go to bbc.com/science of memory, there's a PDF that you can download there. And then if you would like more information, you'll see an email address. Just send an email and they'll send you the full study.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
So just before we wrap, I just want to say a big thank you to Hamish for sharing all of those insights with us today. If anybody has got any questions, all of the BBC team are going to be down on the central concourse at the BBC World News studio and stand. Please feel free to come down. There are a whole bunch of people there from BBC Storyworks and from the broader BBC Global News team. So we'd be delighted to answer any questions you got. The kind of the work that we pride ourselves on doing at BBC Storyworks is about telling great narrative stories about locations, people, and the human experience. And that is really what drives the emotion and enables us to impart brilliant memory into for our brands that we work with. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you all for coming along today. Have a great remainder of your WTM, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please do subscribe to WTM Insights Podcast so you don't miss our forthcoming episodes. And we are, of course, available on your usual podcast apps, plus on the WTM website. See you next time for more WTM Insights Podcast.